Friends of the UNCG Library's book discussion series opens September 21st, starting with a discussion of The Innocent Man, a nonfiction work by John Grisham. Discussion will be led by UNCG Sociology Department Associate Professor Sandra Westervelt. And here in the studio with us today is Dr. Westervelt. She has specialties in criminology, specifically the sociology of law, miscarriages of justice, and family violence. In her research, she is conducting interviews with individuals who have been wrongfully convicted and exonerated. One of these exonerees, Greg Wilhoit, was a major source for Grisham's book. And today, we welcome Dr. Westervelt to our program. Welcome.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you could start us off by telling us a little bit more about your research and how it correlates to The Innocent Man.
Well, when I first came to UNCG back in 1997, I came on the heels of a very well-known North Carolina wrongful conviction case, and that was the case of Ronald Cotton in Burlington. And my colleague and then colleague in the sociology department, Dr. Jack Humphrey, he'd been here longer than I had, so he knew about this case and he was interested in it, and he and I and our university attorney, Skip Capone, decided to put together a all-day legal forum to examine the causes of that wrongful conviction and the consequences of that for, you know, both Jennifer and Ronald since they since his exoneration. So we had everybody who was part of that case come to UNCG, Ronald and Jennifer, Ronald's lawyers, the prosecutor, Ronald's appellate lawyers, Mike Galden, who was the police department detective at the time in Burlington, and they talked about the case and what went wrong, what went right, and how it all unfolded for the two of them. And now, of course, Jennifer and Ronald have a book out on their case called Picking Cotton, and they've been doing a lot of
which
talks.
Just came out this year.
Just came out in the spring, this past spring. And they've been talking a lot. They went, I think they were at Elon. They might have, I can't remember if they were at Wake, but they've been talking around the state a lot, especially to law students about their case. So that was my entry into studying wrongful convictions. Out of that grew my second book, which was an edited book with, again, Dr. Humphrey, where we provided kind of an overview of the wrongful conviction issue. And at that point, really the primary focus of all research, either by sociologists or criminal justice folks or lawyers, was into what causes wrongful convictions. And so this book included originally written articles by most of the most well-known scholars and lawyers in the field at the time. And so I got more and more into studying wrongful convictions.
What
this was in 2001. The book came out in 2001. And it's now kind of a standard text that's used in miscarriages of justice and wrongful conviction classes because there aren't that many out there. And this one included essays by kind of the leading authorities in the field at the time. What that led to was an interest in a new area of research that had not yet gotten a lot of attention in the wrongful conviction field, and that was the consequences of a wrongful conviction for somebody once they've been exonerated. And up until we started, Dr. Cook and I, Dr. Kimberly Cook, who's my colleague and co-author, she's at UNC Wilmington, up until 2003, 2004, we really focused primarily on the causes of wrongful convictions and knew very little, aside from a few journalistic accounts, about what life was like for these people once they actually were exonerated. So we embarked on the first, and to our knowledge, the only actual academic scholarly study of the post-exoneration experiences of people who'd been wrongly convicted. And we focused primarily on people who were exonerated from death row. I think for two reasons. One, because at that point in 2003, there was actually only one existing list of exonerees, and that was the list by the Death Penalty Information Center of people exonerated from death row. We now have lists, other lists, of exonerees from across the spectrum, not just for capital crimes, but for all kinds of crimes. including the list from the Innocence Project of DNA exonerations and then some other lists that other lawyers and scholars have put together. But at the time, the death row list was the only existing list.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to go with the data we had. And then, of course, our assumption was that people who were on death row were in the most acute types of situations. So they not only had been incarcerated for a crime they didn't commit, but they had actually faced the possibility of being executed for a crime they didn't commit. So over a four-year period, we traveled around the country and interviewed 18 death row exonerees. 17 of them we interviewed in person, and one of them we did by correspondence because he was reincarcerated at a federal prison, and the prison did not allow us access to him, so we did his in writing. And we will hopefully be, we've had some articles come out over the past couple of years on our research, but the primary objective is to write a book, and our hope is that we'll be completing that sometime over the next course of the next year.
And one of these people that you met in your research was Greg Wilhoit, which was, he was featured prominently in John Grisham's book. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you, what your impressions are of him,
mm-hmm.
how you met him, your relationship now, and your research?
Mm-hmm. Greg was Ron Williamson's. Ron Williamson is the subject of The Innocent Man. Ron Williamson's best friend on death row. They both were wrongly convicted and incarcerated on death row in Oklahoma. Greg was there first. He had been convicted of killing his wife. He and his wife had been separated for a brief period of time. They had two very small children. And she was, somebody broke into her apartment and raped her and killed her. And he was convicted of that, based primarily on what we now know to be very bad forensic science, but at the time it was bite mark evidence, and at the time that was accepted in court. There were no fingerprints or none of the hairs at the scene or none of the physical evidence matched Greg, with the exception of this bite mark that was on his wife's body, and a couple of local dentists said that it matched. It matched him. And so he had a very bad lawyer, and he went to prison. He went to death row. So he was on death row for a while, and then Ron Williamson arrived, and Ron was in the cell immediately across the block from Greg. So they literally looked into each other's cells. And I think after 6 months or so, they started talking and got to know each other, and Greg, the more he heard about Ron's case, came to really believe that he was innocent. Greg knew he was innocent, and so he thought, wow, I'm actually on death row with somebody else who shouldn't be here. Greg got a great appellate attorney assigned to him and was lucky enough to get off of death row and eventually receive an exoneration on retrial, where the judge actually dismissed the case because the case was so flimsy against him. But he was out for quite a while before Ron got out. And once Ron did get out, they reunited and they maintained their friendship up until Ron died.
Mm-hmm.
Greg has struggled quite a bit since he's been out. He's had continual problems with drug and alcohol abuse. And more recently, in fact, I just contacted his sister this morning. His sister has been a primary supporter of his ever since this happened to him. And I talked to her by email relatively frequently, not so much Greg, because we talked to Greg by phone, but he doesn't do email. But he recently was in a very serious car accident. And at the end of the summer, we received word from another death row exoneree who was in our network that he was in a car accident and was very seriously injured, and we've been keeping up with what's happened, but I just emailed his sister this morning to find out more, you know, about how he's doing. So life for Greg has been quite difficult since he's gotten out. He's had some high points. The children that he had when he was, the two infants that were in the home when she mm-hmm. was killed, are all now grown. They have children, so he's a grandfather, and he takes great joy in that. And he called us when his grandchild was born, and so he's had some good times too. He's a very staunch anti-death penalty advocate. He talks around the country at anti-death penalty events. He has a very powerful story to tell, and I think he gets a lot of pleasure from that. So we have a direct tie to this book through Greg, because he and Ron were so close. Also, Dr. Susan Sharp, who is mentioned at the end of the book as being a good friend of Ron's, is a very close friend of ours, Kim and I. She's our colleague, and she's also a friend of ours. She does research on the families of people who are executed. So we have some common interests. Mm-hmm. And she actually called us. I think Ron died in early December. She called us, I think, sometime in November before his death to say, if you want to come interview Ron, you need to come now. And at the time, Kim and I, one, did not have funding to travel, and two, were quite concerned about the possibility of interviewing someone who was that close to die. Mm-hmm. And we just weren't sure that was the right thing to do. And Ron had a lot of mental issues going as well, so we thought that might be just a little too much. So we didn't go, and he actually died very soon after she called us. So we have some personal connection to the story, but I think more so than that, that I like The Innocent Man because it provides a very good look into many of the different problems that can lead to the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. Probably the only major problem that we know leads to wrongful conviction that is not a big part of The Innocent Man is faulty eyewitness testimony, which is a really big cause.
A big part of your research also.
It's, we focus mainly on life after exoneration, but of course a lot of the people that we interviewed did have faulty eyewitness identification as part of what led them there. But that's the only one that's missing. Other than that, this book hits on pretty much every major cause of a wrongful conviction.
Great.
And then, of course, it's also quite emblematic of the pathways that exonerees frequently take when they get out. And Ron, you know, continually struggled with alcohol problems. He had a lot of mental issues that he had before he even went in that were worsened by being on death row. He had a lot of health problems. A lot of our exonerees have continuing health problems that were either started by or exacerbated by their experience on death row.
Yeah.
Lots of problems with the legal system continuing after their exoneration. So his story is emblematic of a lot of things, of what gets you there, you know, what causes this to happen, and also what life can be like when you get out.
Right. What is, can you tell me a little bit more about the future of your research now?
Well, for now, we've completed the interviews that we're going to do. And we've been writing some articles out of them. So we have a couple of articles and hopefully a third one that will be published soon. The third one we're waiting to hear from the journal whether it's been accepted or not. But the primary objective of the research has always been a book. And we sadly haven't been able to write that yet because we have had a lot of kind of administrative responsibilities over the past couple years, but hopefully that's getting better.
Sometime soon.
And the hope is that by, I think, Christmas of next year, our hope is to have the manuscript completed.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Just want to invite everyone to join the Friends of the Library book discussion series opening on September 21st at 7 p.m. in the Hodges Reading Room in Jackson Library. For more information or to find out about the many more books discussions we have planned for this year, you can visit uncgfol.blogspot.com for information about the UNCG book discussion series.